Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey guys, good to see you this morning. Come on, why don't we give Jesus a shout of praise this morning in this place? He's worthy, he's incredible. God, we want to thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, God, that we are changed in your presence by the book of books before you, the King of Kings. God, we want to thank you for the time we have together. We pray that your word would not return void. It'd be powerful and effective in our hearts and lives, bringing life-transforming power to our thinking, which will change our lives. We thank you for everything you're doing in C3 San Diego, for everything you're doing here in Carlsbad. God, you're good. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Come on, one more time. Let's give him a shout of praise. Amen, amen, amen. So good to see you. Great to be here. And you can take your seat, thanks. And listen, I'm really sorry if you're expecting an English accent. You're going to be really disappointed. It's very Australian. And I'm English born, but when I was two, my dad stole a loaf of bread, so we got shipped to Australia for a while. Only the Aussies are going to get that. And 15 years of age, went back to Manchester. When I was 20, I went to Australia, went to Bible college in Sydney. Met my wife, and she is from South America. Her family from South America. My family are from Wales. I was born in England. My kids were born in Sheffield, which means my kids are really confused, hey? And we have two children. We have a 16-year-old daughter called Georgia, and we have a 13-year-old son called Jaden. And both of them were born on the 22nd of August, 3 years apart. How good is that? It's cool because we're disciplined in our house. And if we had time to do a leadership session, we could speak on that, but we ain't got time for that. Band, thanks so much. Let's give the band a hand. Appreciate you guys. And what an honor to be here in Carlsbad today with Ask Dr. Matt and his beautiful wife, Michaela. Michaela, Ask Dr. Matt. What a great Twitter social media handle that is. We can just ask you anything. Anything at all. Anything theological, anything about the health, anything about body, anything about being naughty. Apparently that's okay. We can go there. We had a great time a few years ago when Pastor Matt and Jürgen were with us in Manchester. And we really do appreciate your prayers. You would have seen a terrorist attack that took place in our city about 6 weeks ago at the Ariana concert. And that venue is right behind our church building. And we were able to open our building after the attack. And it's been amazing how in the midst of darkness, light really shines. And we value those of you who are praying, who know about us. And it's amazing to see what God is doing in Europe. God is doing amazing things in Europe. And we want to encourage you, keep praying for the continent of Europe. But when you come to England, there's one thing you need to remember. In England, we're not European, we're English. It's so important you get that. We dug the English Channel just to separate us from Europe, and we have now something called Brexit, which I'm sure is in the Bible somewhere, and or not. I'm going to stay away from politics, okay? Cool. All right. I'm so happy to be with you in church. Let me start off by asking you a question before it gets too crazy. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever found yourself... God has given you a promise about your business, about your health, about your family, about your church, about your ministry. God's given you a promise. Maybe it was at a conference, at a church service. Maybe, I don't know, you were praying somewhere. God dropped something into your heart and you knew that God was speaking to you about a particular circumstance. You had a promise and you were so excited. You had to tell your spouse, you had to tell your children, you had to tell anyone who had ears who could listen to what you were saying. You were excited about the promise, but you found that as the months or even years have gone by, it seems that you are now further away from the answer than when God first gave the promise in the first place. Anyone found that to be the case? That God gives you a promise and now it seems even more impossible than when God spoke the word into your heart in the first place. as a church, we are nearly 10 years old. We're 10 in October this year. I think you came for our 6th birthday weekend or something like that. It's crazy. And we're nearly 10. And when we moved to the city of Manchester, which is the city of my birth, we moved into the city knowing that we were leaving a big church, not to go to a small church, but that God wanted for there to be a big presence, a big local church in Manchester. You see, the stats are this. In our city, nearly 3 million people. And 10 years ago, there was already 1,100 churches in Manchester. And the average size church was 12 people. And so when we moved into the city, we realized the vision that God gave us was this: a church that stops the traffic. Numerically so large that it creates traffic jams on a Sunday. Now listen, there are two soccer clubs in Manchester. There's the Devil's team, Manchester United Football Club. Do we have any people who support Manchester United by any chance? Just give me a wave. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Down the back. Okay, Father, I pray you convict him of his sin. The 10 plagues of Egypt be upon you in Jesus' name. Are you the sound man? Your lights, okay, you're not that important then. And, what I'm saying is you can't turn me off. That's what I'm trying to say. And we live fairly near that football stadium. No, that's good, man. Stay there. That's good. That's good. I'm going to stand over here by these lights over here. All I'm saying, bro, is don't mess with a man with a microphone, okay? Because it can get really bad for you. And we live about a mile or so from where Manchester United, the Devil's team, play. And on a match day, it can take us about an hour and a half to drive from our house to the city centre, where our church is. On a weekday, on a work day, it can take about 45 minutes to drive the same distance. But on a Sunday, it would take around 14 minutes to drive the same distance. And so our thinking was this: to have a church numerically so large that on a Sunday it creates traffic jams. In the same way that Manchester United and also God's team, Manchester City, create traffic jams when they play. That's our dream and that's what we've been believing for Sunday church. And you know, if you go to a football game in England, a soccer game, if the game is really boring, tens of thousands of fans will stand to their feet and sing, "In church, it's just like being in church." Because everybody knows that church is boring and irrelevant. That's the mentality at large. And so we thought, you know what? The dream would be to have a church so large that visitors to Manchester on a Sunday would be stuck in a traffic jam and really frustrated, wind down the window of the car, get the attention of the person in the car next to them and say, "Hey, what's going on? Are United playing? Is Manchester City playing today?" And the person in the other car saying, "No, haven't you heard? God is back." And that's been the dream that we've been carrying for the last decade or so. When we first drove into Manchester, our first kind of week there, we saw a massive warehouse in the city centre, a big warehouse on 3 acres of land. Now, 3 acres is not a lot of land in America, but in England, it's massive. It's huge. And we saw it right downtown in the heart of Manchester. And we went, one day, that's the building we want to do church in. In fact, we launched church in a really small warehouse with 90 people. And on the first Sunday, we put a picture of the building that we had seen downtown. And we said to church, "Church, one day we're going to do church in a building just like that, the big warehouse that we'd seen." Kind of the first two rows cheered and applauded because they were with us, but the other two rows, there was only 4 rows, they kind of thought, "Man, what are you smoking, drinking, chewing or injecting? Whatever it is, we want some of that." And we started to do church. Church went from 90 week one to 82 to 77 to 71 to 65, and then we bottomed out at around 50 people, which was good news. And then church started to grow. We ended up in that small warehouse. It could only seat, it was probably this big. That was it. We could seat 200 in this area, legally, maybe. And we ended up doing 5 services on a Sunday to get people through the doors. Then one day, a businessman about 6 years ago, he rings me and he goes, "Hey," he says, "I hear you've got a growing church. I've got an empty building in the city center." He said, "If I give you the address, would you like to come and have a look?" I said, "Sure." So the next day we went to have a look at this building, and as I drove up into the front parking lot of the building, I thought, hey, I've seen this building before. And it was the same building that we had put on screen on our first Sunday and said, "One day we're going to own a building just like this." I said to him this. I said, how much do you want for the building? And let me do conversion. He said, you can have it for $7 million. I said, I haven't got $7 million. Would you accept $3.5 million? And he said, okay. So we shook hands. Then I walked away. I didn't have the heart to tell him I didn't have $3.5 million. I kind of thought, bit of a technicality, maybe God could work on that one. We went to the church, and the church raised a miracle offering of around $700,000. We went to the bank. The bank said this. They said, listen, because you're getting the building for half price, you don't need the $700,000 as a down payment, as a deposit. They said, it's going to take 6 months for us to put the paperwork together. So you can move in on a lease to buy deal. You can use the $700,000 to do your initial renovations. And in 6 months' time, we'll give you the paperwork. They said, an ironclad contract. We said, deal. So we moved in. We started our renovations, spent $700,000 over this six-month period. Are you with me so far? Yeah. Then with 7 days to go before we were due to sign the papers to buy the building, to get the mortgage money from the bank sent us an email and said this, listen, we've had a change in banking regulations. We can no longer give you the money that you need. So effectively they're saying, you can take us to court, but we have more money than you and more time. We will see you later. And at that point, I realized we had 7 days to find $3.5 million. My question is this, what do you do when God has given you a promise for your life, for your family, for your business, for your children, for your marriage, for your future? What do you do when the promise from God is real, but you feel further away from the promise now than when God gave you the promise in the first place? What do you do? Well, we're going to answer it because the Bible's got the answer to all these amazing things. We have asked Dr. Matt, we're going to ask Dr. Jesus. And here's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says this, because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? But surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no, but in Him it has always been, everyone say it, yes. Yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through Him, the amen has been spoken by us to the glory of God. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. You've got to get the picture with me this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He's planning to go to Macedonia to plant a church. If you know your Bible, you remember he had a vision of a church in Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so his plan was this. He was going to leave his home to go to Macedonia to start the church. But on his way, he was going to stop in at Corinth, hang out with the church. They were going to watch Corinth Football Club play Thessaloniki Football Club, eat some grapes, maybe drink some wine, and then he was going to have them send him to Macedonia where he was going to start the church. A few months later, he was going to come home again and then on his way home, stop in at Corinth one more time to watch the return leg of Thessaloniki FC versus Corinth FC, eat some grapes, and go home. That was the plan. He planned to do one trip, but visit them twice. On our way to America just 2 weeks ago, we flew Manchester to London, London to the States. And when we go home in 3 weeks' time, we're going to have to go back to London, London to Manchester. One trip, two visits to London. And that was his plan here. One trip, two visits to Corinth. He made a promise. He said, this is my plan. But he was detained. He was unable to fulfill his promise to visit the church in Corinth, which is why he says things like this. Did I make my plans lightly? He says, no, I was sincere in my desire to visit you, but circumstances worked against me and I was unable to fulfill my promise to visit you. He ends up with this statement of faith. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. You see, what Paul is struggling here within the Bible is he's struggling with the difference between the plans and promises that a man and woman makes and the plans and promises that God makes. He wants you to know that the difference that a man and woman, the promises that a man and woman makes is very different to God's promises. Let me put it this way. Sometimes when a man and woman says yes, they mean no. Sometimes the no means yes. Sometimes the yes is a maybe. The maybe is a could be. The could be is a possibly. The possibly means sometimes. And everybody's confused. Are you with me? Let me run through it again. Sometimes the yes is a no and the no is a yes and the yes is a maybe. The maybe is a could be. The could be is a possibly. The possibly is a sometimes. And everybody's confused. And the problem is this in America today, nobody trusts each other anymore. You go to your boss. You said, hey, boss, I promise to work 40 hours a week. I promise to stick to the core values of the company. Your boss says, and I promise to pay you X amount of money. And you shake hands, but you don't trust your boss and your boss doesn't trust you. So you sign a contract because we understand that sometimes when a man or woman says yes, they mean no, maybe, could be, possibly. And everybody's confused, but God is different. I said, God is different. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, which is why Paul arrives at this point where he says this, for no matter how many promises God has made. Now, come on, think about it for a moment. How many promises do you think God has made? I don't know how many people are in this room. Let's just call it 600. If there's 10 promises to every person in the room, okay? If it's 10 promises to every person for 600 people, that's 6,000 promises just floating around this campus right now. 6,000. And if there's 10 promises for every single one of the 7 billion people on the planet, then that's 70 billion promises floating through the heavenly airwaves right now. And then the Bible says that God in the book of Deuteronomy is faithful to his promises for 1,000 generations. So my question is this. How many billions and trillions and squizzillions of promises do you think are floating through the heavenly airwaves right now? I'm here to let you know that God is not like Bruce Almighty, struggling with post-it notes to keep up with all the prayer requests going on. He's not saying to you, hey guys, I am so busy in Colombia, I ain't got time for California right now. You don't know how many prayer requests, you don't know how many promises I'm dealing with, I'm struggling with. No matter how many promises God has made. You see, usually what happens is this, is when you get a God promise, you know it's a God promise, because it's impossible. When you get a God promise, you go, wow, the God of the impossible has given me a promise. But then before long, we take our eyes off the God of the impossible and we begin to focus our attention on the impossible. Listen, no word of a lie. An hour before the bank sent us an email saying we can no longer give you the money, an hour before, I turned to one of my associates, Pastor Stuart, you know him, Matt, and I said to Stuart, the bank is our only hope. They were the words. And it was almost like God was in heaven saying, what'd you say, boy? The bank is the only hope. I'm not saying that God worked things with a bank to teach me a lesson, although maybe he could have. I'm here just to let you know that sometimes we get so excited about the God of the impossible that sooner we take God out of the equation and we focus on the impossible. And before long, instead of focusing on the promise and the God of the promise, we focus on the size of the impossibility. And before long, the impossible far outweighs the possible. You see, a few years ago when my kids, we first moved to Manchester. We live about a mile from Britain's second largest mall. It's awesome. It's not great for the bank balance, but it's awesome. My wife was speaking away at a conference, and so I had my children for the weekend. My son was 3, my daughter was 6. And I said to them, kids, if you are really good today, I said, I need to go to the mall. I'm going to go to 8 shops. And if you're really good, I'm going to take you to your favorite shop. Now, my kids, when they were 3 and 6, were freaks. Their favorite shop was not a toy shop.
their favorite shop was a shop called Boost Juice. I don't know if you have it in America, but Boost Juice is basically a smoothie juice bar. And my son at the age of 3 loved a drink called Mango Magic. With Mango Magic, they take mango, yogurt, they take cream, they take all these supplements, they blend it up and charge you about $400 for a really small cup. So we get in the car, we're driving to the mall. I'm going to go to 8 shops. They know the rules. At the end of that, if they're good, they're going to go for a Boost Juice. Going to go to Mango Magic. My son, he's 3, he says to my daughter, he says, Georgia, I don't know why he speaks that, Georgia, what supplement do you want in your Mango Magic? And she, at the age of 6, said, I want the lime grass. And he says, I want the detox. And I'm going, you kids are freaks. We get to the mall. Go to the first shop. My 3-year-old goes, Mango Magic, none here. Second shop, Mango Magic, none here. Third shop, Mango Magic, none here. Fourth shop, Mango Magic, none here. You know where we're going with this. Gets to the 8th shop, Mango Magic, yeah, come on, kids. And that was so excited. We held hands and we skipped through the mall like Mary Poppins and got to Boost Juice. We stood in a line of 10 people. We finally got to the counter. Now, I'm not patient at the best of times, but I love my kids. So we got to the counter. I said to the lady, hi, can we have 2 children-sized Mango Magics, please? One for my daughter, she wants the lime grass, and one for my son who wants the detox. And she says, sir, that'll be about $10. And I go to give her my bank card. She says, sir, I'm so sorry. We don't accept cards. We only accept cash. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what planet are we living in that you only accept cash? I felt like saying, shall I bring a camel and barter next time? But maybe she came to our church. I didn't know, so I didn't want to offend her. So I said, kids, let's go find the ATM. We walked around the mall. Do you know every single ATM in the mall had a sign saying out of order, apart from one? And there was a line of about 50 to 60 people. Now, I love my kids, just not that much. I said, kids, come on, let's just wait for the line to go down. We'll do a little bit more shopping. We did a little bit more shopping, but the line got bigger and bigger. My kids stopped talking about Mango Magic. I saw a sign saying car park. I thought, quick exit, stage left. We went through the door, out to the parking lot, got in the car. I heard the click clack of the seatbelts. I'm barking at, reversing out of the parking lot. And then my 3-year-old son goes, Daddy, Mango Magic. And then my daughter goes, Mango Magic, and they're like, Mango Magic, Mango Magic. And then I began to describe for the kids the dilemma, the challenge, how impossible it was. And then my 3-year-old son, who is way more theologically intelligent, way more aware than most Christian adults, he said this. He says, but Daddy, you... And I wanted to kill him. I'm not even kidding. I wanted to hang him by his ankles and say, hey, anyone want a 3-year-old? He's potty trained. You can have him, man. You don't even need paperwork. Take him now, is what I felt like saying. I said, but kids, it's so difficult. And Georgia, she's 6. She goes, Daddy, I know what we'll do. If you drive the freeway around to the other side of Manchester, remember, we live in a city of nearly 3 million. To the other side of Manchester, there is a bank over there, Daddy, and they always have money for you. And Jaden and I will stay in the car. We promise we'll be really good. You can go into the bank. You can come out. You can get the money. And you can take us to Boost Juice on the other side of Manchester. I said, but kids, it's so far. They said, but Daddy, you promise. You see, to a child, problems don't hinder promises. And I want you to know something about the nature of your God. The Bible says that your God, He created time. You know this. He created time. Because He created time, He is outside of time. He is not controlled by time. God doesn't say things like, I can't wait until tomorrow, because He's already there. The reason the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, is because Jesus is already in tomorrow. Some people say, well, Glenn, I worry by nature. This is just who I am. It's in my DNA. Listen, my friend, worry is practical atheism. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. Jesus is already there. And I want you to know, I need you to know something, that when God gave you the promise for your family, your children, your business, your health, your church, your future, when God gave you the promise, He already saw the problem. He knew the problem before you were aware of the promise. And God was looking at me in that moment and go, $3.5 million? You're worried about that? I create a universe in 6 days. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and you're worried about $3.5 million? You see, in the middle of Australia, there's a big rock. It's called Uluru. Most people know it as Ayers Rock. And when you drive up to it in a Jeep, man, it's a massive rock. You go through a red desert, don't you? And then there's a big red rock, and you're like, man, that is huge. You get out of the Jeep, it takes a long time to walk around the rock. It takes even longer to walk up the rock. About 4 years ago, I was flying out of Melbourne, Australia, on a Qantas plane. And the pilot said, ladies and gentlemen, we are ahead of schedule. We need to lose some time. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to descend from 36,000 feet to 10,000 feet, and we're going to do a right-hand 360-degree turn around our famous rock in the middle of Australia, Ayers Rock. If you're sitting on the right-hand side of the plane, you'll be able to see it. If you're sitting on the left-hand side, it's okay. We're going to do a left-hand turn as well, so you can have a look. If you're sitting in the middle, sorry, you miss out. And I was sitting on the right-hand side of the plane. We went from 36,000 feet to 10,000 feet. And as we took a right turn around the rock, I thought to myself, you know what? Doesn't look that big. How big do you think your problem is? To a God who sits on an eternal throne where all the angels cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Oh, my friend, I'm not trying to make light of your problem. He empathizes with the emotions that you feel. I just want you to see the size of your God this morning, that he knew the size of your problem before you knew the problem you were facing. That's why he says, for no matter how many promises, for no matter how big the obstacle, for no matter the size of the impossibility, God knew about it. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ and so through him. I need to move quickly. You've got to understand this, that Jesus is the vehicle to the promise. It says through him. Was it Sinatra who sang, I did it my way? I want you to know, if you want to build a business and be the success that God has planned for you to be, then the way to do it is his way, which is why I love the offering talk this morning. It was so, so layered with truth that when we do it his way, so through him. So through him. Years ago, I landed in Perth. 5, 6 years ago, I landed in Perth, Western Australia. I got off the plane, went out into the waiting area, and there was a limousine driver with a gray suit and a gray cap. A sign saying Glyn Barrett, that's my name. It's Welsh, G-L-Y-N. Welsh, no vowels in my name at all. G-L-Y-N. I walked up to this limousine driver, said, g'day mate, I'm Glyn. He said, come with me, I've got the limousine waiting. I'm thinking, wow, they know how to welcome a guest. Walked out to the front of the airport, there's this big white stretch limousine. He opens the door and says, would you like to get in? I said, no, this is a Kodak moment, which only makes sense if you're over 35. Taking all these mental snapshots. And as I'm getting in the limousine, I said to the limousine driver, I said, hey, how far to the venue? He said, it's about 4 hours. Didn't seem to make sense. But I'd just flown from England. What did I know? I'm jet lagged, man. I'm getting in the limousine. And then I hear somebody from way over here say, hey, where are you going? And I look over my shoulder, and there's my pastor friend pulling up at the airport to pick me up. I said, I'm going with a limousine driver. So my friend says to the limousine driver, who are you? And he says, who are you? They had a conversation, and it turned out I was the wrong Glyn Barrett getting in the wrong car. That on the same flight as me, there was another Glyn Barrett, same spelling, G-L-Y-N-B-A-R-R-E-T-T, who was going 4 hours out into the outback of Western Australia to speak at a mining convention. Now look at me, man. What do I know about mining? Nothing. But here's the point. If I would have gotten the wrong vehicle, I would have gone on the wrong journey, I would have seen the wrong sights, ended up at the wrong destination with midlife crisis, saying, what on earth am I doing here? My friend, I want you to know that the only way that the promises of God for your life can be fulfilled are through him. It's through him, which is why the Bible says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. It's all about him. And I want you to know that you can only achieve everything God has for you through him. Through him. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. I want you to know that over every promise he's ever given to you, for whatever circumstance, situation, he says yes, 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 yes. They're yes in Christ. And so through him, and we finish here, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. You see, Jesus says yes, but your job is this. You've got to say amen. Amen means this, so be it. Let it be. God, so be it. Let it be. Everything you've said over my family, let it be. Everything you've said over my financial investments, let it be. Everything you've said over my shares portfolio, let it be. Come on, somebody. Everything you said over that house I'm looking to buy, let it be. Everything you've said over this new business I've started, let it be. Everything you've said over this church, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. But I want you to know something, that let it be comes with a bit of a caveat that you've got to understand. We have this moment in Scripture where the Bible says Jesus was praying. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says that as he prayed, he sweat great drops of blood, the weight of the world on his shoulders, the fulfillment of all the promises that we have upon his shoulders, the weight of all of our sin, past, present, and future. And he sweat great drops of blood. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, he prayed this prayer. He said, Father, may this cup pass by me. And then he remembered. Jesus, in this moment, remembered that the Bible says this, the Lamb of God was slain since before the foundation of the earth. That God, in all his brilliance and foreknowledge, knew that we would need a Savior. And so he planned that his Son would come, the Lamb of God would come, and the Lamb of God would die on the cross. And so here we have Jesus in this moment. He says, Father, may this cup pass by me. But then he remembers, yes. Yes. The yes over your salvation. The yes over your lost sons and daughters coming home. The yes over healing to your body. The yes over the future dreams that you carry. Yes, yes, yes. And Jesus realized he had to do something. He had to say amen. And so in this prayer, Jesus says, may this cup pass by me. Not my will, but yours be done. He was saying amen. What was he actually saying here? He was actually saying, God, Father, I will walk through the process in order to fulfill the promise. Jesus knew that it would mean carrying the cross up the Via Dolorosa. Jesus knew that it would mean being crucified to a cross of wood. Jesus knew that it would cause 3 days for him to go into the depths. Jesus knew, and in order for the promise to be fulfilled, someone had to walk through the process. You know what? Most Christians I meet in England, not in America because you guys are perfect, but in England, most Christians I meet believe more in magic than they do in miracles. Magic and miracles are different. 2 weeks ago, we were in Las Vegas. I got pulled up on stage to help David Copperfield. He gave me an empty bucket. He opened the top. I looked in. There's nothing in it. A few moments later, he opens the top. There's a duck in it. And the duck crawls out. I don't know how he did it. You know what magic is? Magic is when somebody else does everything. Miracles were never that. Every miracle in Scripture involved the full participation of the person needing the miracle. The person with the withered hand, reach it out. The person who couldn't walk, stand up and begin to walk. Everything, it required the full participation. You see, what the promises of God require from you is for you to say to God, God, I hear your yes, and so I say to you, amen. In other words, God, I will walk the process in order to see the promise fulfilled. We don't believe in God who is a magician. We believe in God who is a miracle worker. And what he does for every single one of us this morning is he says, yes, 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 but will you say amen? God, I will walk through the process in order to attain the promise. I need the musos to come and join me. You see, we had 7 days to find $3.5 million. I got to be honest, I checked the bank account. It wasn't there. We thought about all sorts of things. You know, the only thing that we could do when we got the email is this. I was with a friend in my office. When the email came through, this is what we did. We got on our knees and we said, Daddy, you promised. We don't know what else we can do apart from come before you with prayer and supplication and humility and on our knees and say, God, we would be nowhere and we would be nothing and we would have nothing if it wasn't for you. Everything is God-breathed. The Bible says in John 1, everything that was made through him. John 1, 3, that all may believe through him. Lord, we have nothing without you. Daddy, you promised. Listen, within an hour of us praying that prayer on our knees, a guy phones me. He lived about 3 hours away. I'd never met him before. He said, hey, I hear you're looking for a building. I said, I found a building. I just need some money. He said, how much do you need? I said, $3.5 million. He said, when do you need it by? I said, by Friday next week. The Friday the next week was the Friday before Christmas. It was the last working day before Christmas. We were going to lose the building at 5 o'clock. So he says to me, the Friday previous, he says, come and see me on Monday. So I drove for 3 hours to see him. Didn't know who he was, didn't know what he meant. I sat with him. He ordered the most expensive meal on the menu. He ordered for himself the most expensive bottle of wine. He asked me one theological question. And then we just talked sport, football, cricket, which is a 5-day game. We just talked life. At the end of this 3-hour meal, he drank the expensive bottle of wine, ate the expensive thing on the menu. He left, and I had to pay the bill. So I need to find $3.5 million plus hundreds of pounds, British pounds. I'm going, God, I get home. I drive home 3 hours later. I arrive home. Sophie says, what happened? I went, I have no idea. But all I know is this is on Friday at 5 o'clock. We're going to lose the building. We're going to go into the Christmas service saying, hey, church, we're really sorry. We've got 24 hours to vacate the premises. We'll send you an email this week. We'll let you know where church is next week. All the stuff's going through the mind. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I can't even begin to tell you the weight. Every morning waking up, Friday morning waking up going, we're losing the building today. I don't know if I slept that week or what was going on. But all I know is this, is the day went. We got to 10 to 5 in the afternoon and my cell phone rang. I picked it up. I said, hi, it's Glenn. And this person said, hey, it's such and such. Do you remember me? You bought me lunch on Monday. I went, yeah, I remember you. He said, are you sitting down? I said, no. He said, sit down. So I sat down. He said, listen, I've been thinking about it. I've decided I'm going to give you the money. I started crying. I had a pastor friend in the office. He was crying. He didn't know why he was crying. He was crying because I was crying. The guy on the other end of the line, he was crying because he was giving me $3.5 million. We were all crying. We then had, like, literally within the next 10 minutes, had to get the owner on the phone, the agent on the phone, prove funds, do transfers, and all those sorts of things. Amazingly, we managed to get the agent on the phone. We got the owner on the phone. We could prove funds. We got a 2-week extension. And 2 weeks later, we walked away with a title deed to the building that you've been to. With this thought ringing through my heart and mind, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. That's 5-6 years ago. I tell you that story right now because right now we've just launched a new building project. Because on our current site where our building is that we bought for $3.5 million, we're building a new church facility that's going to cost us $30 million. And what I know is this, I ain't got 30 million, but the God who was faithful with 90 people 10 years ago, and the God who was faithful with 3.5 million 5-6 years ago, he is the same God who is faithful today. And my friend, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what problem there is, but I know this. The God who gave you the promise is far bigger than the problem that you're currently facing. And if in this moment you want me to pray for you, you're saying, Glenn, pray for me. I need a miracle. Pray for me. I need a miracle. Pray for me. I got a promise that I'm carrying from God. The problem seems great. And you have preached, you have read my mail. This message is just for me. I want you to do one thing with me right now. I would love for you to do what I did when I got before God 5 years ago in my office. If you want me to pray for you, and if you can do this, if there's room, do you mind just getting on your knees just for a moment? Because I'm going to pray for this promise that you're carrying. If you can't kneel, you can stand, you can sit. This is a very Church of England thing to do. You're making me feel at home now. Come on, right now, would you close your eyes? Would you think about the promises of God? What it is? What has God spoken to you about your kids, about your family, your future, your finances, your business? Lord, here we are on our knees. Before you, the King of Kings. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us. Lord, on our knees right now before you, we simply say these words. Daddy, you promised. You said it, and we believe it. And God, right now, I pray that you'd cause each and every one of us to have our eyes not on the size of the problem, but on the magnificence of our God. You are so good and you are so great. And we give you praise and we give you thanks in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.